May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips and in each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you were here last Sunday, you heard me preach on Acts 4. Acts 4 is after a man lame for 40 years has been healed. And of course, this great crime of healing this man who's been crippled for 40 years gets the disciples hauled before the authorities to be questioned. And the authorities don't want them teaching about Jesus or the resurrection of Jesus. Why? I don't know. It undermines their authority. And so they order them not to talk about Jesus anymore. And they say, and who should we listen to, you or God? And they leave and they go back to the other followers who are assembled. They report what's happened with the healing and with the orders that they've received. And then they pray. And they say, oh Lord, hear their threats. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name, the power of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. That was last Sunday. What we saw in this is that testimony or witness, preaching the gospel with boldness, is followed by the power of God. The Holy Spirit pours through those who willingly and courageously and boldly share the good news. And so the exhortation last week was to witness and testify to what God has done. And after I preached, Rebecca made an invitation, and many people came forward to be prayed for and blessed and anointed with oil. That all happened spontaneously. And I shared during the course of that sermon about a woman that I had known while I was in seminary, a Presbyterian minister, Susan, who had had rheumatoid arthritis since she had been 3. She was now 33. And who I had been challenged to pray for in my clinical pastoral education class, where we learn to pray for people who are in the hospital. And my friend Peter and I, if you were here last week or you've heard the story before, enjoy it again. My friend Peter and I were the only ones in our seminary who are what I would call sort of orthodox and charismatic. And we were not highly regarded. So Peter and I prayed with each other and sort of held each other up in the course of seminary. Well, my friend Peter had testified to me one time about having been invited over one evening to the home of friends who had a young daughter, teenage daughter, who had scoliosis. Her spine was very curved, and she was in enormous pain as a result. And they'd been to the doctors and had not been able to solve this, and so they asked Peter to come over, and the three of them, her parents and Peter, prayed for her. And as she lay on her stomach, and as they laid hands on her and prayed for her, her spine straightened right in front of their eyes. And this, for my friend Peter, was a life-changing experience, as you might imagine. And Peter, who I trusted, told me this story about this experience of his, that this healing really happened. And his testimony and witness to it, to me, gave me the courage when I prayed for Susan to ask for healing for her, even though it was a setup. I mean, there were like 30 people present in the room, none of whom expected anything to happen. And I hadn't ever seen anything like this happen, but I had witness and testimony from my friend Peter. And so I believed that it happened, and I read about it in Scripture happening, and so I boldly went where angels fear to tread. And I prayed for Susan. We all went home at the end of the day. The Holy Spirit came while we prayed. Everyone in the room wept uncontrollably. But I didn't know whether a healing had taken place, only that there had been a powerful sense of the presence of God on all of us. I won't tell that whole part of the story. But I went home and came back 4 days later to the hospital where we were being trained. And the very first person who saw me said, "George, did you hear what happened to Susan?" And as I shared last week, my first thought was, "Oh, great, she died." Or she's in the hospital in desperate trouble or something. You can show how high my faith is or see it. And I said, "No, what?" And they said, "She's healed." And I think I said something like, "No way." And she had been healed completely of rheumatoid arthritis. She'd even been to the doctors. They checked her SED rate, and they said, "The disease is gone. We don't know why. We don't understand this. You don't have rheumatoid arthritis any longer." And she remained healed. I didn't see her when I was there that time. I went back to my office at Oracle where I was working, and I got a phone call from her, only I didn't know it was her. Because this voice said, "Hi, George, how are you?" And it was among the sweetest voices I'd ever heard in my life. Her voice had never been sweet. It had always been bitter and sarcastic and hard. I didn't recognize her voice. And I said, "Who is this?" And she said, "This is Susan." "Susan who?" She told me who she was, and the two of us went out to lunch. And she said, and now I virtually do not recognize this person I'm having lunch with because she is so filled with the sweetness of God. And she told me that up until that healing, that she had believed in God, but that her view of God always was that he was awful. Awesome in that sense, full of awe, but also that he was a frightening presence to her. And she said, "I now know that he is sweet. And I've never known that. He is sweet." And she said, "This has transformed my own ministry, which was counseling of abused women." And she said, "All I could tell them up until now was that there was a God. But I had no answer to any of their questions about why me, why here, why now, why was I treated this way, why has it ruined my life?" And she said, "What I can tell them now is, though I can't answer those questions, I do know that God intends your healing because he is sweet and he has healed me." She said, "This has changed my ministry completely." And at my ordination, she gave me this little silver vial. It's for holding holy oil. It has cotton inside it. And then oil is soaked into the cotton, and I use this when I pray for people to anoint them. And on the side of it, it looks like it says 01, which for an ex-computer programmer is meaningful, but it's actually OI, and it's Latin for oil inferma, which is oil for the healing of the sick. And she gave this to me on my ordination as a gift. So Peter's testimony to me gave me the courage to believe that God does still do miracles. And that encouraged me, that emboldened me to pray for Susan. And then Susan was healed, and her healing gave her courage to pray for the healing of others, as this testimony has likely given some here courage to pray for the healing of others. Now, Monday, was it Monday that my eye thing started, or Tuesday? Monday? Tuesday. Monday. It had to be Monday. It's one thing to talk about the healing of other people, and it's another thing to need healing yourself. So Monday, my right eye starts doing weird things. Scary weird things. My left eye, over here on the left side of it. I'm seeing flashes and curves and weird stuff like that. So we went to my ophthalmologist, just went. We called and they said, come in if you need to come in. Early Tuesday morning, went there just when the door opened to the place. This is the guy who did the LASIK surgery on me a few years ago. They dilate my eye. They look into it. I describe the symptoms to him. He examines the eye thoroughly, physically, and he says, there's nothing physically wrong with your eyeball. It's all intact. It's healthy. It all looks right. No macular degeneration, which my mother has. No retinal tear, nothing. It's all completely normal. And he said, but the symptoms indicate a neurological problem. Excuse me. And he got up out of the room and left and called a neurologist. Now, I'm delighted when doctors are attentive, but I have to tell you that when your doctor gets up and calls a neurologist, minutes after looking at you, you wonder why such enthusiasm is present. And he came back after having argued with the nurses of this neurologist that he knows and basically said, you need to go and get an MRI, and I'll make the phone calls to get it scheduled. Well, we ended up going to a GP in my practice where I see my regular GP. He's out of town. He did a complete sort of physical exam of my head, asked me questions again about what I was seeing, and what they both said is, what we think is you've got a pituitary tumor, because these are classic indicators of a tumor on the pituitary gland, which, by the way, is about in between your eyes and back, about 2 inches. And it's usually what controls your growth when you're growing up, but it has other functions as well after you're an adult. And they said they're usually benign, but we're not going to fool around. We're going to go and find out right away. And so I talked to my physician, and he said, we need to schedule an MRI for you, but we have to get approval from the insurance company. Everybody can groan collectively now. And then he went out of the room, and he spent an hour on the phone with the insurance company, which is a wonderful thing for a doctor to do, except when your doctor stops what he's doing and takes an hour to talk to your insurance company, you wonder why such enthusiasm for helping me out, right? So he couldn't get them to approve it right then, but they agreed they would approve it probably within 24 hours. He wrote out the order for the MRI and marked on it, STAT, call me STAT as soon as you have the results. I love that kind of enthusiasm. But it makes you wonder why they are so enthusiastic. So I'll let folks in the church on the prayer chain know that this was going on. By the way, if you're not on the prayer chain, send an email to Maggie, and she'll put you on the prayer chain. And when there are any sorts of crises, health or otherwise, going on in the congregation or in our extended family, you'll be notified and you can join in the prayer. I came to vestry meeting that night, shared what was going on. The vestry was very concerned. The clergy were very concerned, which is right and appropriate. Even began making plans for what to do if George is out for an extended time, which is a good thing for them to have done. Although that kind of enthusiasm again makes one wonder. So after the vestry meeting, they came in and sat me down right here, and they all prayed for me for healing of whatever it was that was going on. And it was unusual because as they prayed, it felt like there was a little tornado going on inside my head. This is weird, I know, but just like there was just stuff going on sort of inside the top of my head. Weird. Cool, but weird. So they prayed for me. I got more prayer the following day, and then Thursday went in for the MRI. People praying for me everywhere as all of this is going on. And this is a new facility right where our GP's new offices are. And the woman put me in the machine, and I was in it for like 40 minutes, and they're taking all sorts of pictures, and then they inject a dye into me and take a whole bunch more pictures. And then she comes out and leans over to me, and she says, "You have the smartest brain I have ever scanned here." Well, you can actually tell that if they've got Einstein's brain, it's got extra folds in it. And you can see folds when you do a scan. So she says, "You've got the smartest brain I've ever scanned here." And then she pauses and says, "It's also the first one." To the brand new facility, and I was the first brain scan there. So. So the results get done. I go home. Nobody calls. Nobody calls. Nobody calls. I called the office and said, "What are my results? And has the doctor heard the results?" And they said, "Oh, your doctor, he's off today." Come on. Everything's been done stat, and he wants the results stat, and now you're telling me he's off? They said, "Well, I guess we could page him." I said, "Well, okay, let's do that." So they paged the doctor. The radiologist read the results to the doctor. The nurse called. The nurse, not the doctor. The nurse called me and said, "Dr. Santi wants you to know your brain scan is completely normal. There is nothing in your whole head which is wrong." Now, you may argue with that. But at least nothing an MRI can pick up. So no tumor on the pituitary, no tumors anywhere else, nothing that shouldn't. Yeah, amen is good. Amen. All right, so Rebecca, of course, never the one to let anything like this go, says, "Okay, well, after you preached about testifying and witnessing, maybe you're supposed to testify and witness." Like, you preached about it for everybody else. Maybe God wants you to do it too. So I did. Now, you know, the scientist in me, my first degree is in physics. The scientist in me says, would have been better if I'd had an MRI on Monday and then a follow-up MRI on Thursday. Then I could say, well, there's the tumor. It was there on Monday. And then I got prayed for and Thursday it was gone. But it didn't happen that way. And in fact, life doesn't unfold that way. The way life unfolds is you face a problem, you deal with it medically, you deal with it by prayer before the throne of God, and you look for the results. Well, the results are nothing. It's all gone. There's no tumor. I am with you likely for a long time yet to come, so get used to it. All right. So that's my witness and testimony. Now, I want to say one thing just a little bit before we move on, because I'm going to invite some of the folks who came up last Sunday to be prayed for. If you have a testimony here that you'd like to share, we'll have a couple of minutes to do that. A couple of minutes to do that. But what I preached from last week was Acts 4. If you press on into Acts 6 and 7, something else happens. And that is that they decide that it's time for the apostles to be devoting all of their time to teaching the word and witnessing to the resurrection. And so they call deacons, Deacon Judy, Deacon Daniel. They call deacons who are to be full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit to serve those in need in the community so that the apostles can devote themselves to teaching and testifying. And Stephen, who Scripture describes as a man wise and full of the Holy Spirit, does indeed perform miracles of healing with those that he touches and encounters. And he too testifies to Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fact of his resurrection. And of course, they arrest him. And even as he testifies before the authorities, they say that his face lit up like the face of an angel. And in the face of the wisdom and the power of the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit, so obvious that they say his face lit up and looked like that of an angel. In the face of that, the decision of the people there, of the religious authorities, is to kill him. And they do. They stone him to death in Acts 7. So I just want to be really clear for all of us. God has called us to witness and testify boldly. God has called us to pray for healing and to testify to it boldly. But if any of us is under the misapprehension that this will lead to great popularity, read Acts 7. Maybe it will. Maybe we'll each become a Benny Hinn and fill stadiums with people coming for healing. But the norm in Scripture is when you have the willingness to testify boldly, the response of the culture and those in religious power is death. It's what they did to Jesus. It's what they did to Stephen. It is what they did to the many martyrs over the centuries. It is not well received because it is the power of God confronting the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness respond in fury. And so my encouragement to each of us is to be bold the way we have been told to be bold in Scripture, but to be under no illusion that this will do anything other than bring opposition in the world in which we live. God tells us to do it, and we rejoice as we do it, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes as we do it, and we rejoice. But let's be really clear that this is not something that brings acceptance or fame or popularity. It brings opposition and sometimes even death. Anyone wish to share from last week or from previously of healing? Phil.
Something really neat happened during the week, this last week. And in my previous job, I was downsized, and which put me in a position where I had to look for employment. And but this time around, I was really pressing into God for where He really wanted me to go and in which direction. And to make a long story short, I was received I did receive the offer I wanted from the place I wanted. And but that has happened faster than it ever has in my entire life. So I thought that was just incredibly miraculous that I didn't spend 6 months laying around in the sun. So,
amen. Yeah.